Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. We are asking the question of what does it look like to live like Jesus as a middle schooler in a 2024 world. Follow along, we hope you enjoy this message. Sweet, thanks for singing with us, guys. No, it's always encouraging to me to sing with you and remind ourselves of truth and just praise God for who he is. So always fun. Well, you can turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. This is a passage of scripture that we probably hit at least once a year. I think it's pretty important too, especially in light of what we're talking about this morning. So if you're joining us, we are in our third episode, but we're just in the third week of LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. And just a reminder, yeah, we kind of stole this from the WWJD or the He Would Love First bracelets, because it's the same kind of idea that as you wear one of these bracelets, or maybe as you remember back to one of the weeks of this series, that you would be reminded wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, that hey, as Christians, if you're someone who calls yourself a follower of Jesus, or did you know that the word Christian means little Christ, as someone who is trying to model your life in the same way that Jesus lived his, like model your life after his, that we're supposed to live like him. And so how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we treat ourselves, how we engage and embrace God, that the ways that Jesus did that ought to look similar in our lives in the way that we do those things. So the first week was kind of an intro week. If you missed it, you can go back and watch it on YouTube, or it should be up on our podcast stuff. But it was just basically kind of an opener, talking about, hey, we are called to be disciples of Jesus. We're meant to be followers. We're to get covered in the dust of our rabbi, that we follow him so closely that his dust covers us. Remember, that's kind of a first century picture as they're walking through the dusty streets and all the areas where Jesus would have gone, that the dust would have kicked up because they were following him so closely, because I want to be like you, Jesus. And so that's kind of the idea for us, is we want to be like him. We want to live like him. That's kind of what we're called to do as Christians. So that was kind of week one. And then week two, we were talking about how Jesus seemed to be a person of the word. Like, he was very familiar with the Old Testament, with the scriptures, seemed like he had it memorized, and not just simply because, of course, because he's God, but no, it actually seemed like he studied and learned, and we read from 2 Timothy how scripture is so important because it's the word of God. It's written by people, but inspired by God through those people, and that if we want to hear from God, we've got his word right in front of us. Why would we not choose to go read it and see what he has to say, and then be people of the word and obey it? So basically, if you want to live like Jesus, then we have to be about the word like Jesus was about the word, or be in the scriptures like Jesus was in the scriptures. And today, we're going to talk about prayer, which is probably something that some of you have heard about before, maybe something that you have a lot of questions about, though. I would assume that a lot of you probably, if you live in a Christian home, you probably pray at dinner time. Maybe you pray at bedtime as well. But possibly, and then at church, okay, let's throw in a third one for you there. But possibly that's like some of the only times in your house or in your family or in your life that you really engage in prayer. And so maybe you have some questions about it. Like, maybe you're not the one who actually normally prays, so you're wondering, well, what am I supposed to say? Like, what does it actually mean to talk to God? And if I am talking to God, I feel like I should have some pretty specific things or a pretty certain way about what I'm saying, how I'm talking. So what does that look like? Or maybe some of you have wondered, what do I pray about? Like, it seems like, you know, I've got a lot of things going on in my life, but maybe the people in like Asheville and in Western North Carolina, maybe those are the people who actually need to pray right now, because my things seem a little maybe less than or just smaller in the grand scheme of things. Maybe you've thought that before. Maybe you've wondered, well, how long should I pray? Because I've heard pastors who, it seems like the ending of their sermon is another sermon as they pray for the next 15 minutes. Am I supposed to pray like that? Or maybe you have a grandparent or a parent or somebody in your life who prays like that. So do I have to, every time I have to pray that long? Maybe you have some of those questions about prayer, or you have some other ones. But potentially some of those will be answered today, and you'll have a clearer picture of what it actually looks like to pray. In the passage that we're in this morning, again, that was Matthew 6. We're going to be in verses 9 through 13. This is something that's called the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? Raise your hand. Nice. Sweet. Some of you have probably prayed it as a part of a sports team. Maybe you prayed it before or after practice or before or after or in the middle of a game. Like, it's probably the most popular prayer of all time. And in Matthew chapter 6, where we find this prayer is actually in the middle of this thing called the Sermon on the Mount, which I kind of mentioned last week as I was talking about how the Bible Project is going through in an entire year, just these few chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. Which, by the way, did anybody this week, this is probably a scary question, but did anybody set a timer for 5 minutes or more or less and read your Bible? Did anybody do that? Nice, couple hands, proud of you. Sweet. Only girls? Okay, could have, oh yes, we got, I didn't see the hand, sorry, not a girl. But proud of you guys for doing that, really. And if you didn't do that, that's totally fine. Guess what? You got a lot more time, so you could do it today. You could do it this week. And remember, that was just like a challenge of, hey, if you want to be reading your Bibles, if you want to in that way, in that sense, live like Jesus, then maybe start small and see what happens. So hopefully the Lord spoke to you during that time. This week, as we talk about prayer, though, Jesus, in here, he's in the Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching to a group of people, and he's kind of on a mountainside. And really, if you wanted to read these few verses, you would probably hit some of the most important things that Jesus seems to think in regards to life. Like, he talks about some pretty important things here. How to treat people. He actually talks about marriages. And one of the things that he talks about here is prayer. And he actually gives an outline where he's essentially saying, hey, if you want to know how to pray, pray like this. There's another instance in the Bible that's not here in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus actually seems to break down a similar pattern or format of praying, where he kind of says, hey, this is how I pray. And in an interesting, like, kind of blows my mind the moment that it was in. It's in Luke chapter 11. If you want to go look at it later, you can. And it seems like the disciples have a moment, the 12 folks who follow Jesus, to ask him like a question, which doesn't happen very often in the scriptures. Like, sometimes they ask him about what he taught and he kind of seems to elaborate on it, but for whatever reason, we don't seem to see so many interactions where they just are hey, you kind of got a free shot here, shoot your shot. And but here in that instance in Luke chapter 11, the disciples do it. They have a question, and I don't know what you would ask. Maybe that's a fair question to ask this morning. What would you ask Jesus, or what would you ask God if you could ask him anything? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe have some thoughts about that. If you could ask Jesus anything, what would you ask him? And the disciples had been following Jesus, and so they'd seen him do some crazy things. They'd seen him feed thousands of people from a little boy's little lunchbox, right? His little Lunchable. He multiplied it and fed thousands of people with it. They'd seen Jesus heal. They'd seen Jesus teach. They'd seen Jesus do all kinds of crazy things, which, if I'm being honest, like, maybe the one thing, especially in light of what we've just gone through a few weeks ago, maybe like, if I had a question for him, it'd be, hey, Jesus, how do I control the weather like you control the weather? You know what I'm saying? Like, And even before the hurricane, it was like, man, that would be awesome if we could actually do that. Like, if I could just control the weather and calm a storm or whatever in a way that Jesus seemed to be able to do. Like, when the disciples are on the boat, remember, in the middle of the water, and a crazy storm comes and they're fearing for their life, Jesus essentially is like, hey, calm down, and the storm does it. You know, like, if I could ask Jesus anything, it'd probably be something along those lines of, hey, how can I do some of those wild things that you were doing? And yet, if you read in Luke chapter 11, when the disciples get a chance to ask Jesus a question, they ask him to teach them how to pray. Jesus, how do you pray? There's something about how you pray that seems really, really crazy, really, really powerful, even more so, it seemed, than the whole weather thing and the whole food thing and the whole, like, at least know how to be a better communicator, like Jesus was a great communicator. But no, they asked him how to pray. So there was something about how Jesus prayed that struck the disciples, that made them want to, like, know a little bit more, turn their ear a little bit closer. Hey, Jesus, what do you have to say about this? How can we have a relationship? Here's what I think it was getting down to, whether the disciples realized it or not. How do we have a relationship with Father God in a way that you have a relationship with God? That seems to be kind of what they were asking Jesus. And so he lays out a similar format to what we see in Matthew chapter 6. But Matthew 6 is where we're going to be because it's language we're a little more familiar with. And so we're going to be here and see what Jesus says when it comes to praying. Which, before we read these verses, let's define prayer, I think, in the simplest of ways. We can put some language to it. Z might have like a really simple definition for what prayer is. Yeah, Ben. Yeah, so you bow your head and you close your eyes and you talk to God. I definitely think that that is how many of us pray, right? I think we're going to end with Ben because that's the simple definition I have. That prayer, and I think most of the time, Ben, to your point, we do bow our heads and close our eyes. Or as some people say, bow your eyes and close your heads, okay? Don't do that. But you don't actually have to do that to pray. You don't have to have your eyes closed to pray. You don't have to have your head bowed to pray. However, I think a simple definition, let's put that up there, tech team, that prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. It's really simple. It's a conversation with God. And you can have your eyes open, closed, head bowed, not bowed, hat on, hat off. I do think there's some areas where it's like, hey, but to be respectful and in the place that we're in, we take our hats off. To be fair, that's not how I grew up, and so I often forget about that. But I think at any time, at any moment, no matter what you're doing or who you're with, or you can have a conversation with God. You can talk to God. You can pray. So simplest definition of prayer is talking to God. So Jesus, how do you talk to God? How should we talk to God? Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this is the pattern. This is the format. This is probably something that most of us in this room are familiar with. What's Jesus talking about here? Does this mean that now, from now on until we're face-to-face with God, that this is the only way that we can talk to God? No, it seems like Jesus is more getting at, hey, no, this is kind of this is a pattern and a picture for really the heart behind our prayers. Do I have to pray these exact words every time then? No, you do not. Do I have to hit every one of these? Because we're going to kind of talk about how there seems to be five different pieces of this prayer. Do I have to hit every single one of these every time I pray? No, you do not. But I do think that it's healthy and helpful and right if from time to time we're bringing each of these five things to God. So what are the five things? Let's put some language to it. In the first verse right there in verse 9, Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here's kind of the first of the five things Jesus seems to be doing in these words here in this prayer. The first thing is that he takes time to recognize God. If you're taking notes, these five things are going to come up on the screen one at a time. To recognize God. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, recognizing that there is a God who is above all, who is over all, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. He is set apart. He is unique. He is different. He is other than us, and we are recognizing his holiness. We are recognizing him for who he is. In your prayers and my prayers, do we take time to actually recognize the God that it is that we're talking to? Sometimes this means that you use language like what Jesus uses here. Lord, you are, we don't often use the word hallowed, but our modern translation would maybe say holy. Your name is holy. God, you are holy. You're huge, you're majestic, you're all-powerful, you're all-knowing. Do we take time to recognize who God is? I think when we do, that it's a good reminder of, hey, no matter what we're going through, no matter how big or small our situation may seem, no matter all the thoughts that we have going in our head. It's a reminder that we serve a God and get to talk with a God who holds all of those things in the palm of his hand. He sees them all. He has power over them all. He is sovereign, to use a biblical word, over all of it. And man, there's just something comforting about being reminded of our God who is faithful, who never leaves us or forsakes us, who hears us, who sees us. Like, there's something extremely comforting about being reminded as we pray that that's the God we serve. Do you have moments in your prayer? Sometimes maybe that's your only prayer because you see God answer your prayers in a way that's like, man, I can't not be grateful and thankful for who you are. So Jesus takes time to recognize God for who he is. The second thing that he seems to ask here in verse 10 is, your kingdom come, your will be done. Maybe a way to summarize this is that Jesus says, hey, in our prayers, there ought to be times where we ask God to align our heart with him. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, that your ways would be what's starting to leak into, what's starting to come into the earth. And that might be done through me. That your kingdom might advance, that your will might be done, even through a human being like me or you. The second thing is that our heart would be aligned with God. I think what this does, obviously, is helps our perspective shift to be similar to the perspective of him. That's ultimately what we're asking. Lord, you see this world in a different way than I do. Would you help me to have eyes to see it like you do? And then it changes probably the rest of our prayer. Because I think when we see the world and we see life and we see our lives in a way, maybe a little bit more clearly, in a way that perhaps God sees, it changes what we ask for. It changes what we pray for. And that's where Jesus goes next. He says in verse 11, this is the third part, give us this day our daily bread. Prayer isn't just recognizing God. It's not just asking God to align our heart with him, even though I think that should be a part of our prayers, at least somewhat regularly. But there's also a space where here Jesus gives permission. Hey, you've also got to ask God for the things that you need for each day. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, would you provide even just bread for me today? Would you meet my needs? Some of you maybe feel bad for asking God for certain things. You feel bad for, hey, my family's got this need, or I've got this need, or Lord, I need a friend, like whatever it is. And sometimes we feel bad. I don't know what it is for you. There's all kinds of reasons why you might feel guilty for praying some of the things that you do. But man, if you've recognized who God is, if you've asked him, hey, will you align my heart with yours, then the prayers of things that you need, man, you have full permission to ask God for whatever is on your heart. And he may not give you every single thing that you're going to ask for. In fact, he won't. But he wants to hear the heavy things that are on your heart, the things that you would say, no, I feel like I need this right now, Lord. Would you answer this prayer in some way, shape, or form? So recognize God, align our hearts, offer your daily needs to him. And then verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. It's an ask of God, as we should on a regular basis. Yes, everything's been forgiven at the cross once and for all, but he still invites us. You can see this in places like the book of James. He still invites us. No, when we recognize that we have sin in our lives, when we recognize that we fall short, when we recognize that we don't meet the mark, we need to ask God for forgiveness. And we need to ask him for help to forgive others. When's the last time you asked for forgiveness from God? Like, are we in a regular, man, this could be a sermon on its own. Are we in a regular pattern and habit of repenting, going to God, sharing the places that we've fallen short, asking for his forgiveness, and then asking for his help to turn away from those things. That's what repentance is. Asking for forgiveness and then doing a 180 and turning away from those things towards the things of God. Forgiveness is number 4, and then number 5 is protection. Verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Where Jesus is acknowledging that there are temptations that you will face in this life, that you will be tempted to sin, that you will be tempted to fall, that there is an evil one who is at work. Remember, we talked about John 10:10, the evil one, the enemy comes to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. That he is after our hearts, and he wants nothing more than for us to turn from God and to fall in temptation and to get stuck in sin. And Jesus says, why would you not pray that the Lord might offer protection? That when temptation comes, that he would give you the ability through his Spirit to say no. That when the evil one is afoot and at work, that you would ask for the Lord's protection. These 5 things, and I know it sounds like a lot, but if you take it in bite-sized chunks, and maybe, hey, for the next time you pray, you're focusing on the first one, and then the second one, and then the third one, your third time praying, and so on and so forth. These are things that it seems like Jesus says should be a regular part of our rhythm of prayer. So what do we do with that? Where do we go from here? Maybe some of your questions, again, revolve around, hey, so the words that I use, does that matter? Like, I hear these things that you're talking about, but is there a certain way that I should be asking for forgiveness? Is there a certain way that I should be taking my daily needs to him? And I want to say this. I think that the Psalms, written by different people, but one of the people who wrote the most of them was King David. The Psalms, there are all kinds of prayers and songs to God. They're conversations with him. And I think, based on some of the times where David's crying out and seems like he's frustrated with God, and the times where he's praising God and seems to be reminding himself of, hey, no, this is who God is, I think the full spectrum of the Psalms give us permission to pray and talk with God based on whatever's on our heart. Not with a certain pattern, not with certain words. But hey, if there's things on your heart, then bring them to God. You have permission. So can I tell God about, like, my dog? Yeah, sure. Can I tell God and talk to God about my grandmother who just passed away? Yes. Can I talk to God about how I'm frustrated with my parents? Yeah. Can I talk to God about how I'm frustrated with him? Yes. Can I ask God to help me on a test? Sure. I think it's probably wise if you were to also study for that test. But sure, you can help him. You can ask him to help you on a test. Can I ask God? Yes. Can I talk to God about? Yes. Can I? I think you have full permission based on what we see in the scriptures and through what Jesus says here to take anything that you have on your mind to God and talk with him about it. Where should I do that? Maybe that's one of your questions. Where should I do it? I think you can do that anytime you want. I think you can do it anytime you want. Jesus seems to have conversations with God while he's walking through towns. He also seems to have conversations with God while he gets away and it's just him and the Lord and he's in some garden and nobody else is around. So I can talk to God anytime. Yeah. I can talk to him about anything. Yeah. Doesn't that free you up, man? There's this quote from a guy named Chuck Smith. He was a pastor who's passed away. I think he's been gone for about 10 or 15 years now. And he said this, "Though prayer doesn't change God's mind or God's purposes, it does change something. It changes us." I think that God wants to have these regular conversations with us, these regular talks with us, so that we know things like, hey, in the middle of whatever storm you're going through, God is there. That, hey, in the middle of whatever celebration, like you've got something that's awesome in life, hey, that's a gift from God. Be reminded of how awesome he is. When you're faced with temptation, I know where to turn. I know that I'm not alone. I know that there is a God who sees me and is with me and can give me the ability to turn away from this. I think Chuck Smith was onto something when he said, hey, Prayer, we don't pray to change God's mind. We don't pray to change God's purposes, but God seems to use conversations with him, talks with him, prayer to change us. So if we want to live like Jesus, we need to pray like Jesus did. Maybe this is the challenge for some of us, similar to the scripture that we talked about last week. Maybe one of the takeaways for this morning is what would happen if sometime in your day you set aside just a few moments. Let's call it 5, okay? I like that number. 5 minutes, you set a 5-minute timer and said, I'm just going to talk to God about what's on my heart. And you see what he does with that. In 5 minutes one day, and then a second day, that's 10 minutes. You know, after 6 days, you've already prayed for a half hour. And I think over time, as you spend time with God, he starts to change you. And if you don't believe me, well, maybe start having conversations with God and see for yourself. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for once again not leaving us hanging when it comes to what it looks like to have conversations with our Heavenly Father. But you set the standard. You modeled it well for us. You even tell us specifically in the Sermon on the Mount, hey, this is how you should pray. Pray like this. So Lord, would you help stir prayer in our minds and in our hearts that we would realize, oh, we can freely speak with the God of the universe, and that we might actually do that, that we would engage you in conversation and see what you might want to say and what you might want to do through our times with you. Help us to pray like Jesus did. In your name we pray. Amen.